Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Maseches Midos, Daf Lamed Vov. At the end of our last shiur, we were discussing the Mizbeach and different aspects and dimensions regarding it. Mishnah Beis continues with the descriptions of the Mizbeach, and we read as follows. Mishnah Beis, Uvekeren Marovis Droimis, Hoyu Shnei Nikovim. At the southwestern corner, on the foundation or the base of the Mizbech, the Yesoid, there were two holes, Kamin Shnei Choytomim Dakim, like two narrow nostrils. She Hadomim Hanitonim Al Yesoid Marovi V'Al Yesoid Droimi Yordin Bohen. The blood that was left over from the korbanos, the shirayim, the leftover blood after blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach. So there were korbanos whose shirayim, the leftover, was to be poured on the southern side, and some whose remaining blood, poured on the western side of the mizbeach. That is the reference to these two holes. Shadomim hanitonim al yisoid marovi ve'al yisoid droimi yordin bohen. The shirayim were of those korbanos that we just mentioned were poured either down the western hole or the southern hole, both of whom were located at the southwestern part of the mizbeach. Umis orvin bo'amo v'yoytzin l'nachal kidron. The blood, after it was poured in the holes on the base of the mizbeach, would then descend to the amo, the ditch or stream that through which water flowed through the azora and carried the blood out to the nachal kidron, to a stream outside of the harabayas called the nachal kidron. And it flowed out there. Mishnah Gimel, Lamata Boritzpa Ba'oisa HaKeren, on the floor of the Azora at that corner of the Mizbeach, Mokoim Hoyosham Amo Al Amo V'Tavlo Shel Shaish. There was a spot on the floor measuring an Amo by an Amo and a tile of marble. V'Tabas Hoyosik Vuaba, and there was a ring fixed into this tile that would serve as a handle. Shebo Yordan Lashis Umenakin Oiso. If you were to lift up this tile, it would enable you to have access to the shis, which are the opening under the mizbeach, through which the blood would reach that area, the shisin. And we might as well add that the nisuch hayayin that took place on the top of the mizbeach also flowed down the tubes that were built into the mizbeach and eventually reached down to these tubes that reached down into the depths of the earth. So we're referring right now to that area, the shis, these tubes that ran under the mizbeach. Umenakin oisoi, by lifting up this marble tile and gaining access to the shis, you would now be able to clean it from blood that may have coagulated and accumulated over there, that would prevent the flow of the blood into the stream that ran under the azora. The kevesh hoyo l'dromo shel mizbeach. Now the Mishnah turns to describe the ramp leading up to the mizbeach, and the ramp was the kevesh, and it was located to the southern side of the mizbeach. Shloshim u'shtayim, it had a length of 32 amos. Al rochav sheish esrei, the width of the ramp was 16 amos. U'revuva hoisa lo b'ma'arovoi. The expression revuva is a type of window, a square window, was to be found on the western side of the ramp. Shesham hoyu noistim psule chatos haof. Into this spot, birds that were designed to be chatos, sin offering birds, that were found to be unfit, would be placed there during any given day and left there till they became nosar. In other words, they would be left there till they became what's considered left over, which in effect would be until sundown. And they would then take them from there to be burnt. Mishnah Dalet. Echod Avnei HaKevesh ve'Echod Avnei HaMizbeach. Whether we're discussing the stones that formed the ramp or the stones that formed the Mizbeach. Mibikas Beis Kerem. They were brought, they were supplied from an area called Bikas Beis Kerem, which was an area near Yerushalayim, and they were very smooth stones. The Choifrin Lamato Me'apsula, in order to get to these stones, they would dig underneath, they would dig into the ground, dig into ground basically that itself was never cultivated. Basula literally is virgin soil in this case. They would dig under the virgin topsoil, umevian mishom avonim shlemos, and they would bring from there complete unhewn stones, shelohuna falein barzel, that there was no metal, no iron that had any contact with these stones. Shabarzel poisil benegia, barzel iron will render the stones for the mizbeach and the ramp unfit. Bifgima l'chol davar. Likewise, a notch in the stones would render the stones unfit. Nifgimo achas mehen, if one of the stones became notched, he psula, that particular stone became rendered unfit. The kulon kseros, but the rest of the mizbeach, the rest of the stones of the Mizbeach were kosher, and all that was expected to be done was that the notched stone was to be replaced. Umilabnin oisom pamayim b'shono, achas b'pesach v'achas b'chog. The idea of milabnin is they were coated or painted over, smeared over with sid. Sid is a type of lime coating, and this treatment was done twice a year, once on Pesach and once on Sukkot. Right, in other words, right before Pesach and right before Sukkot. The hahechal pam achas b'Pesach, and the hechal, the structure of the Beis Hamikdash, was covered over with this sid material once a year, namely before Pesach. Rebbe Omer, kol erev Shabbos milabnin oisoi b'mapo mipnei hadomim. Rebbe says that every Friday they would clean off the mizbeach with a cloth to clean it off from the blood that had been applied to the sides of the mizbeach. Lo hoyu sodin oison be'kofis shel barzel, when the sid application was done. Sid, as we said, was a lime or type of whitewash was applied, so it wasn't done with a tool that would be, let's say, a standard painter's tool that was made of metal, and it's referred to here as the kofis shel barzel, a type of application utensil that's made of iron. So why wouldn't they coat it with by using this tool? Shemo yiga fiso, because of the fear of the tool coming itself into contact with the stones. Shabarzel nivro lekatsu yom of shalodom. Iron was created and used as a device that kills people, that shortens people's lives, as implements and arms are fashioned from this material. The existence of the mizbeach is for the opposite; it is for the purpose of lengthening a person's life. And it's therefore unfit for that which shortens life to be in contact with that which lengthens life. Mishnah Hey, the tabos hoyu litzfono shel mizbeach. There were rings on the floor north of the mizbeach, and the purpose of these rings was for the insertion of the necks of the animals that are brought for slaughtering as sacrifices. We have made reference to these rings in an earlier limud. So the Mishnah goes on to say, Shisho Sidorim Shel Arba Arba. There were six sets of rings, four rings in each set. The Esh Omrim, another version, states it this way, Arba, there were four sets, Shel Shesh Shesh, each set had six rings in it. But according to both versions, there are 24 rings. Shalehen shochtim es hakochim. These rings were used for the slaughter of sacrifices. The purpose, or the reason there were 24 rings, that each mishmar is a service group of kohanim, and there were 24 service groups made up of the kohanim that were living in Israel. 24 groups. Each group had its own ring. Beis hamitbochaim hoyo litzfono shel mizbeach. The slaughter area was to the north of the mizbeach. The olav shmoina amudim nanosim. In this slaughter area, which was north of the mizbeach, there were eight short pillars. Uravian shel erez al gabayim, and on each one of these pillars there was a block of wood. Erez is a type of wood, a block of wood on them. Vunkloyos shel barzel hoikvuin bohen. There were hooks made of iron that were affixed into these blocks. Ushloishus dorim hoyu luchol echo veecho. There were three hooks in each one of these blocks. Shebohem toilin. Using these hooks, the sacrifice was, after it was slaughtered, was then suspended. Umafshitin al shulchanos shayesh shebein hoamudim, and with the sacrifice suspended from one end on the hooks, and the other end lying on a marble table, they were thereby skinned in that fashion. Mishnah Vav, hakior hoyo bein hulam lemizbeach. The kior was a tank containing water, whose primary use was for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, a daily washing of hands and legs of the kohanim before they would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So there was a tank of water there, and it was located between the ulam, the antechamber to the heichal, and the mizbeach. Umoshuch klapi hadorom. Bein ha'ulam lezbeach shtayim v'esrim amo. It was drawn south of the mizbeach a distance of 22 amos. In other words, the mizbeach itself stood opposite the ulam without anything blocking the mizbeach from the ulam. The area between the ulam and the mizbeach, and let us read the Mishnah again with some greater accuracy. The Mishnah mentioned at the beginning, Hakior hoya bein ulam mizbeach u'moshuch klapei hadorom. The kior, this tank, was located between the ulam and the mizbeach. However, it wasn't directly between the ulam and the mizbeach. It was drawn south of the mizbeach. Now, bein ha'ulam v'mizbeach shtayim v'esrim amo. The distance between the ulam itself and the mizbeach was 22 amos. In other words, from the mizbeach, if you were to continue in a westerly direction, you would be traversing an area, a distance of 22 amos until you reached the ulam. However, it wasn't a flat walk. From the mizbeach till you got to the ulam, you would ascend a number of stairs. And the Mishnah goes on to describe this. Ushteim esrei malos hoyu sham. There were 12 stairs that one would have to ascend in order to go from the floor of the Azora on which the Mizbeach stood and reach the entrance to the Ulam. Rum Malo Hatzi Amo, the height of the stair was a half an Amo. Vishilcho Amo, and the width of the stair, in other words, the lateral dimension, after you rose a half an Amo, the depth of the stair, the width of the stair, was one Amo. Amo, Amo, V'roived Sholosh. Amo, Amo, V'roived Sholosh. What the Mishnah is describing is that the width of the stairs, as you would rise, you would ascend the stairs. So the first and second stairs had a width of one Amo, and then you would go up another stair and reach a level that's called a Roved, and this was had a width of three Amos. After that, you would rise another two stairs, each one measuring an Amo in width, and after that, a third stair after that, and that was another Roved, measuring three Amos. This would take place, this again, another two, and then you would hit a Roved. So you'd have three sets of stairs made up of this two regular stairs and a Roved. So that you would have three times two, that would account for six stairs worth six Amos, and three Rovdim, each one nine, each one three, so three times three is nine, so that you have six and nine, that would account for 15 Amos. Voeliono Amo, Amo, the Roved Arba. And then there was another series of stairs after the three sets we just described, where there would be another two stairs and then a final Roved. However, that final Roved was an Amo, was a four Amos, so that you would have, that would account for two stairs an Amo each, that's two Amos, and another four, six. So that after we accounted for, in the first three series, we accounted for 15 Amos. 15 Amos plus this last series of stairs, or last group of stairs, counting for six. That's 15 plus six. That gets you 21 Amos. In addition, there was one Amo between the Mizbeach and the first stair. Total of 22 Amos that existed between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. So that's the opinion of the Tanakamo. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hoel Yoino Amo Amo V'Roivet Chomesh. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says there was no Amo between the Mizbeach and the first stair. Rather, the last series at the top were two stairs plus a Roved of five Amos. So that if we accounted for 15 Amos of the first three series of stairs and Roveds, the last one would be two stairs and a Roved of 5 Amos, another 7 altogether. 15 and 7 is 22. Mishnah Zayin. Pischoi she'ulam govoi arboim Amo. The entrance to the Ulam had a height of 40 Amos, v'rochboi esrim Amo, and a width of 20 Amos. V'chomesh malturois shel melas hoyu al gabov. There were five beams made of melas wood, a type of wood that were placed above the entrance of the ulam, one beam above the next, rising order, lying across the top of the ulam. Hatachtoina oidefes al hapesach amo mizeh ve'amo mizeh. The first of these beams lying across the entrance of the ulam measured one amo more than the entrance of the ulam, one amo on each side, so that if the entrance of the ulam measured 40 amos, or correction, measured a width of 20 amos, this beam would measure 22 amos. Above that, there was another beam, also an increase in size of 2 amos, 1 amo on each end, greater than the first beam. Shelemalo mimeno, oidefes olo amo mizeh, vi amo mizeh. So that second beam would measure 24 amos. If there were a total of 5 beams, each one in increasing size of 2 amos, nimseis ha'yoino shloshim amo, then the uppermost of these 5 beams would measure 30 amos in length. The nidboch shel avonim hoyo bein kol achas v'achas, and a row of stones was built in between each one of these beams. Mishnah Ches. Uklonsos shel eres hoyikvuyin mikosloi shel hechal lekosloi shel ulam kidei shelo yivat. There were cross beams made of erez wood that were affixed in the wall of the hechal, connecting one end affixed to the wall of the hechal, the other to the wall of the ulam, to add additional support because of the otherwise extreme height of these walls. The sharshrois shel zohav hoyikvuos betikras ulam. There were golden chains that were affixed in the roof of the ulam, shebohen pirche kuna oilin. The young kohanim would be able to use these chains to climb up v'royin es ha'atoros, and be able to view the atoros, which were some type of the meforshim used the expression kipois muzhavos, some type of golden dome-like structure, or otherwise some type of crown-like fixture that were in the windows of the hechal. And there an allusion to this is found in the book of Zechariah, Shinemar. It says, V'atorois tia l'chelem u'letoivya u'velidaya u'lechein ben sefanya l'zikoroin behechal Hashem. So the pasuk here, V'atorois, is a reference to these either crown fixtures or dome-like fixtures that were in the windows of the hechal. And the pasuk goes on to give a list of names of people who apparently had donated them. Geffen shel zohav hoisa imedes al pischo shel hechal. There was a golden form of a vine, of a grapevine, that stood at the entrance of the hechal. Umudlo al gabi klonsos, and it was supported by poles. Kol mi shehu misnadev, anyone who wanted to donate ole, a leaf, o gargir, or a grape, o eshkol, or a cluster, mevi v'toy leba, they would bring this golden either leaf, grape, or cluster, and suspend it from this golden vine. Amar Reb Elozer Rabbi Tzadok, Maisa Hoya, Reb Elozer tells us that an incident took place, v'nimnu aleo shloish meos kohanim, and it required the appointing of 300 kohanim to carry it away, in indicating a vast amount of wealth that had been donated in the form of these golden forms. The Gemara points out in Maseches Chulin, and it also pointed out in Maseches Tomid, that this may very well have been an exaggeration, but nevertheless, there is a reference to something of a very great weight, indicating a very, very significant amount that had been donated. We now continue to Amud Beis, where we begin the fourth perek of Maseches Midos. Pischo shel hechal govoi esrim amo. The entrance to the hechal had a height of 20 amos, v'rochboi eser amos, and a width of 10 amos, v'arba delosos hoyu lo. The entrance to the hechal had a series of 4 doors, shtayim bifnim u'shtayim bachutz, 2 doors on the inside of the entranceway and two doors on the outside of the entranceway. This number is indicated in a pasuk shenemar, Ushtayim delosos vaheichal v'la kodesh. Two doors to the heichal, and indicating leading from the ulam into the heichal. And we should point out that the entranceway itself was the thickness of the wall of the heichal, and we're talking right now about the entranceway leading from the eastern end of the heichal. As you're walking westward, the wall itself had a thickness of 6 amos, very thick wall, so that you could have two doors on the outside part of the entranceway and two more doors on the inside part of the entranceway. Hachitzonos niftochos l'soich ha-pesach. These doors were located 1 amo into the entranceway, so that from the outer edge of the wall, there would be no doors at the outer edge of the wall, but the doors were positioned 1 amo into the entranceway. And these doors opened inwards. That's what the Mishnah says, Hachitzonos, the outer doors, when you're walking from the ulam into the heichal, the first doors you reached are called the Chitzonos, the outer doors. They opened inwards. L'chasos ovyoi shel koisel. They opened inwards, and when the door was open, so the door was in effect covering part of the thickness of the wall. V'hapnimios, the inner doors, niftochos l'toch habayis. L'chasos achar hadlosos. The inner doors, they were positioned at the inner edge of the heichal wall, and when they opened up, so they would cover. The Mishnah says lechasos achar hadlosos. So when they opened up, the door would be in effect covering the wall, the inner wall of the heichal itself. So, this last point of the inner doors opening and covering the wall of the heichal itself, the Mishnah goes on to say, "Shekol habayis tuach b'zahav chutz me'achar hadlosos." The interior of the heichal was covered with gold, except for the area on the wall that was right behind the doors as they open inwards. So, let us go over the Tanakama with regard to the first set of doors, as one was walking from the ulam into the heichal. We said that those doors were positioned 1 amo into the entranceway. If the heichal entranceway itself measures 10 amos across, and there were two doors attached to each side of the entranceway, each door measured 5 amos. So that when the door opened, it would open and then, in effect, cover the depth of the entranceway. The total depth of the entranceway, we mentioned, was 6 amos. However, the doors themselves were positioned 1 amo into the entranceway, so that when each door, which measured 5 amos, was opened, the entranceway wall itself was covered with the door that was now open. The inner doors, as we mentioned, according to the Tanakhama, were located at the inner edge of the heichal entranceway, and therefore when they were opened, they would, in effect, the back of the door would cover the inner wall of the heichal itself. Of course, 5 amos on each side of inner wall. The Mishnah goes on with another approach, description of the doorway setup, the doors, as we see now. Rav Yehuda Omer, Besoch HaPesach Hoyu Omdos. Both sets of doorways were located within the entranceway itself. As far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, there's a very different approach. We will shortly see that the inner doorways the inner two doors themselves, just like the outer two doors were positioned within the entranceway itself, one half amo from each edge. In other words, the outer doors, those doors that one hit upon going from the ulam into the entranceway, those first two doors, or the first doors, were positioned a half an amo into the depth of the doorway, and the innermost doors, the inner doors, were positioned a half an amo also into the entranceway. In other words, not at the edge of the entrance to the Heichal, but a half an amo inwards. And furthermore, the each door itself was made of we would possibly call it a folding door. Ukemin its tromita hoyu v'nikpolo slachorehen. The entranceway itself, as we mentioned before, measured 10 amos across. The doors themselves, we just mentioned, were folding doors. So that meant, as the Mishnah goes on to say, giving us the following dimensions, Eilu shte amos umechza v'eilu shte amos umechza. Each panel, if you will, of that formed the door measured 2.5 amos across, so that you would have a folding door that, when the door was closed, so that it measured, each one measured 5 amos across. However, it had a hinge running down the middle, whereby it would fold into panels, each one of 2.5 amos. Chatzi amo mezuzo mikan, v'chatzi amo mezuzo mikan. And we mentioned this earlier, that each set of doors was set into the entranceway itself, a half an amo from each edge, respectively. Shinemar, and the pasuk that describes this setup is as follows: Ushtaim dlosos ladlosos, shtaim musabois dlosos, shtaim ledeles echos, ushtaim dlosos lacheres. The pasuk communicates this idea that each side of the entranceway had its own set of doors, two doors each entrance, each end of the entranceway, and each door itself was made up of two panels. What happens as a result is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you take off that half amo from each edge, you account for an amo of entranceway that is not covered by doors, so that the outer edge and the inner edge of the entranceway are accounted for, a half amo in each direction. Now, you would set up these doors, each one a folding door, and each panel measuring 2.5 amos, so that when the outer doorways were completely open and folded, so that it would account for 2.5 amos of entranceway wall being covered now by the open door, and the inner doorways as well, the same thing, 2.5 amos of entranceway wall being covered by door. That would account then for 5 amos of entranceway wall being covered by the door when it is open. And if you add up all these numbers, you then find that you have 6 amos total of entranceway. Mishnah Beis. Ushnei pishpishin hoyu lo l'shar hagodol. Echod bat sofon ve'echod bat dorom. There were two small entranceways were found to the side of the main entranceway. The main entranceway was on the eastern wall of the Heichal, and one pishpesh was to the north and one to the south. Shebadoroim loy nichnas boy odom meolom. The southern one of these small entranceways remained shut at all times. No one ever entered that. Balav hu meforosh Al Yedei Yecheskel, in the book of Yecheskel, a reference is made to this. Shenema Vayomer Eli Hashem Hasharaze Sogur Ye. The Almighty addresses the prophet and says that this gate shall remain closed, Lo Yiposeach, and shall not be opened. Ve'ish Lo Yovoy Boy Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Bo V'Hoya Sogur. Southern Pishpesh was reserved, so to speak, for the Almighty, and the Almighty doesn't need to have an open door in order to enter it. Hence, it was to remain closed. Notal esamafteach uposach esapishpash. So the Kohen in charge of opening the respective gates, he took the key and entered the small northern entranceway, namely the pishpesh, that's that small passageway that's off to the side of the main gate, the nichnas lehata, bearing in mind that we're talking here about very thick walls, so that in the wall itself there were chambers that were built, so that he entered a chamber, umehata lahechal, and then from that chamber, he then entered the hechal itself. And now once he was in the hechal, he would then turn to his left, and being that he entered through the northern pishpesh in order to reach the main gate of the main doorway of the hechal, he would have to turn left and then be facing the hechal gate and open it from within while standing in the Hechal. Rabbi Yehuda is a different version of what happens here. He says, Besoch ovyoi shel koisel hoya mahalich. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he remained in the thickness of the wall of that chamber, and he didn't enter the Hechal itself, but rather he entered the area between the two sets of doors that we described earlier. So he's now standing basically in the thickness of the entranceway. Once he left the Tor, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he turned to the left, but entered not the Hechal, but rather entered the gap, the thickness of the entranceway, finding himself now between the outer doors and the inner doors that we described earlier. Until he finds himself standing between the two gates. Uposach es hachitzonis mibifnim, he would open the outer doorways, the outer doors, namely the doors leading from the ulam to the hechal entranceway, he would open them, those are called the outer doors, from within. Ves hapnimios, the inner doorways, those that entered the hechal itself, he would open them mibachutz, from their outside. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.